In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we just witnessed the baptism of little Lucas Edward, the newest member of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of eternal life. Eternal life was the focus of today's gospel reading when the lawyer tempted the Lord and challenged him. And the Lord spoke about eternal life as love for God and love for one's neighbor, to the point of doing something about it, to the point of acting upon that love. And he told the disciples, those people who were following, he said, you go and you do likewise. You love God and your neighbor and you act upon it. And this is how we get to eternal life. This is what eternal life is. I want to share with you something of a proverb. I'm going to give it to you in two parts. I'm going to give you the last part first, and this will be the subject of today's sermon. What is it that makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise? What is it that makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise? Who knows this? What's the first part of that proverb? Early to sleep, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? Ben Franklin is sometimes credited with that proverb, but it preceded him. And it speaks to us about man's desires. Man desires to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Who doesn't? These are good things. And we, of course, have these desires for ourselves and for others, especially the newest member of our community, Lucas Edward, on the day of his baptism. We want him to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Last Sunday, we spoke about another proverb, modern-day proverb, and we said that a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. We spoke about it in the context of health. We said that a little health can be a dangerous thing if we think that the health that we have now is sufficient, and that there isn't anything better, there isn't any life that's more extraordinary for us, that it's enough to be healthy just in body, but not also in soul. And that can be a dangerous thing. Today we'll speak about being healthy, wealthy, and wise, but not just in a physical sense, in a temporal sense, but in a spiritual sense and in an eternal sense. We think about this health that Christ has come to give us. He comes to raise the soul and the body from sin, corruption, and death. To give a resurrection to us. And we know that this resurrection in body comes in the next age and the resurrection of soul comes in this age. And this is what we press forward towards, that double resurrection. But sometimes we think, why do I have to wait to the next age to get these benefits? And of course, for our souls we don't. But for our bodies we seem sometimes that we have to. There was a new study that was done where researchers looked into data on nearly 75,000 middle-aged female nurses in the U.S. And this was a study on health. The participants answered questions about whether they attended religious services regularly between 1992 and 2012, and about other aspects of their lives over the years. The researchers found that women who went to church more than once a week had a 33% lower risk of dying compared to those who said that they never went. Less frequent attendance was also associated with a lower risk of death, as women who attended once a week or less than weekly had 26 and 13% lower risk of death, respectively. Women who regularly attended religious services also had higher rates of social support and optimism, and lower rates of depression, and were less likely to face addiction. This is temporal benefits to coming to the Lord, to attending church, to being faithful. The Lord does promise eternal benefits, but we even get temporal benefits. Let's jump into the question of wealth. Do people who are faithful to Christ receive temporal blessings, material blessings in this life. There's a whole segment of Christianity that has changed the gospel so much that it's been renamed the prosperity gospel. If you follow the Lord's commandments, you'll be prosperous. And this is a question for us to ask. Is there a benefit, temporally speaking, in our pocketbook to following the Lord's commandments? I submit to you the answer is yes, but not like the prosperity gospel teaches. What are the benefits? When we follow the Lord's commands, we become virtuous people. We are people of hardworking character and diligence and self-control and discernment. We know how to order our own selves and our lives. And there is a measure of success that people who develop virtue will experience materially. Doesn't always work out that way, but generally speaking, you are going to be more successful if you're virtuous than if you're lacking in virtue. There is a temporal benefit, but, is that temporal benefit the most important thing? And the answer is obviously no. That the riches that God has for us are not temporal and fading away. They are eternal. They last forever. They are the riches of the soul. Today, the church commemorates the life of St. John Chrysostom. You know him as one of the authors of the Divine Liturgy, the service that we're serving today. You know him as a great father of the church who's written many wonderful works, gave tremendous sermons that people traveled from afar to hear. He would speak for hours. Hours? Today's sermon will not be that long in honor of St. John. But he would speak for hours, and grace flowed out of his mouth. And as we sung in the hymn, he became a beacon for the universe, showing to the world the riches of poverty. The riches of poverty. You got to be a good talker if you're going to convince the world of the riches of poverty, right? St. John did convince the world of the riches of poverty because there's a truth behind it. We'll look at some of his teachings. And we'll look at them in context of the Lord's teaching. First, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Right? We want wealth in our life, and we want this for little Lucas Edward. We want him to save up and have enough. But what was the parable of the wise and foolish virgins all about? Everyone remember that? They were awaiting the bridegroom, and they had lamps. And they had to keep oil in their lamps. And the wise ones had enough, and the foolish ones did not. Right? Remember this now? And then when the Lord was coming back, the foolish ones realized, oh, we don't have enough oil. What are we going to do? They asked the wise ones, give us some of your oil. And they said, no, lest there be not enough for us. You go and buy your own. And while they went to go get more, the bridegroom came and they were left out. They missed out. Because they had not set aside enough. They had not saved enough. They had not thought enough about their future. When we think about our future as Christians, we have to be the wise ones, the ones who save up enough so that we're not left out of the kingdom. Now, I mentioned that St. John was a wonderful speaker. I want to tell you what he says about this parable. He says, what is the oil? But generosity, charity, love for others, and the grace of God. That the oil that we're supposed to be accumulating and storing up and having more than enough of is generosity, charity, love for others, and the grace of God. And the wise ones had it, but the foolish ones didn't. They had some, but they didn't have enough. Now we think about this and we say, well, if that's the case, if that oil really is generosity and love for others, and the wise ones had so much, why did they give that to the foolish ones, right? Where was their generosity and their love that they had so much of that they couldn't spare a drop for the foolish ones? Was St. John wrong? I submit to you, no, that he was exactly right. And in fact, the oil could be nothing other than love for our neighbor and generosity. Because love for your neighbor and generosity is not something that someone can give to you. No one can give you generosity and love for your neighbor. The ones who had it, the wise ones, they couldn't give it to the foolish ones even if they wanted to. And they did want to. They said, go get it for yourself. You can acquire it for yourself. But you have to take some of your money and you have to give it to those who can give you this oil. You have to become charitable. You have to become generous. And no one can do that for you. St. John Chrysostom, as I mentioned in the singing of his Troparia, reveals to the world the riches of poverty. And that sometimes is translated as the riches of generosity. The riches of generosity. The wise virgins were rich in generosity. Other times it's translated as the riches of non-covetousness. Say that word 10 times fast. What does that mean? What's the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet, right? I'll read it to you. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You shall not covet. And there's great riches in not coveting. Certainly great riches in giving things away, in generosity. But also not in coveting. Not in seeking to seize things for ourselves that don't belong to us. So, let me get this right then. We can kind of store things up for ourselves if we earn them, if they belong to us. We can store them up for ourselves and keep them. Well, if we did that, we might be lacking in generosity. But we could say, well, I'm not being covetous, at least. Because what I have is what I've earned. If I'm after my neighbors, then I'm being covetous. But if I'm just interested in my own, then I'm not. Well, there is a problem with that. And it's revealed in the parable of the dishonest steward. And this is a parable of the Lord's that is sometimes a little more difficult to remember or to understand. He writes about a rich man who was a manager, and he was accused of wasting the possessions. Remember this? He was accused of wasting his master's possessions. He was entrusted with something, and he wasted it. He didn't do well with it. And then the Lord says, if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what belongs to yourself? No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. I tell you, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. That last sentence unlocks the mystery of this parable. Use your wealth to make friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. And brothers and sisters, it will be gone. Everything that we save, that we store up, that we've earned, that we've stolen, however we got it, it will be gone. When will it be gone? On the day of reckoning. And when is the day of reckoning? When we stand before God and we answer for the stewardship of what he's entrusted to our care. Right? And when does this begin to happen? When we die. You know what the last words of the Orthodox funeral and burial service are? As the person is put under the ground, the casket is lowered, and dirt is put on, the last words are, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. What a reminder that we take nothing with us. Nothing with us. No matter how hard we work for it, and we justify ourselves that it's ours, we take nothing with us. Except perhaps for generosity. Love for our neighbors, the grace of God. This we can take with us. These are the true riches. Let's go to wisdom, and we'll close with wisdom. First, I'll read to you from 1 Corinthians, first chapter. St. Paul gets right into it with the Corinthians. And then I'll read to you the commentary of St. John Chrysostom, just a short section. Here's from the scriptures. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the prudence of the prudent will I reject. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the one with worldly arguments? St. Paul is speaking about the cross of Christ that puts to shame all other forms of reasoning, all other forms of earthly wisdom, that the cross puts it all to shame. What does our health matter when we die? What do our riches matter when we die? They matter nothing. And the cross reminds us of that. Now, this is a hard message. It's a hard message. St. John Chrysostom is going to address how hard it is in a moment. But I want to tell you, it is a hard message, but there is truth behind it. And even if someone as wise as St. John Chrysostom in his gifted eloquency is not able to convince you, look deeper than the illustration that he uses and look to who is actually delivering the message, that it is the eternal truth of Jesus Christ that is delivering this message of the cross. Here's what St. John Chrysostom says about how difficult this is. Here's the analogy. To the sick and gasping, those are on their last breath, so to speak, even wholesome meats and foods are unpleasant. Friends and relations become burdensome, who are oftentimes not even recognized, but are rather accounted as intruders. Much like this often is the case of those who are perishing in their souls. For the things which tend to salvation they know not, and those who are careful about them they consider to be troublesome. Now this ensues not from the nature of things, but from their disease, their sickness. What St. John is talking about is each and every one of us and the difficulty we have hearing these messages. Hearing the truth from the truth. It's hard. It's hard. But the worst thing that we can do is push away those who are coming to heal us, to help us, to raise us up from our dead, to make us rich with eternal blessings. We are so tempted to push away the church and the Lord. Isn't life hard enough? Aren't we suffering enough? Let us at least enjoy this temporal stuff. Don't rob me of that. Brothers and sisters, it's gone already. It's gone. You can't enjoy something that is so fleeting like this. But we can enjoy something that is eternal, something that's given to us. Now, I opened with two things that would make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Going to sleep, getting up early. Well, that's actually not it. The two things that can make us healthy, wealthy, and wise are the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Today, Lucas Edwards is enrolled among the ranks of those who are being raised to newness of life. Those who are being entrusted with the eternal riches of the kingdom. Those who are being made wise amidst the foolishness of this earth. Brothers and sisters, let us never turn away from the Lord and His church, but cling to Him, both now and in the age to come. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.